ABC's Don North reports from Saigon.
An accidental fire which started on the flight deck of the carrier USS Forrestal minutes before it was to launch strike aircraft against North Vietnam has destroyed or heavily damaged 29 aircraft. The blaze started when an auxiliary fuel tank dropped off a plane being prepared for launch and fuel was ignited by heat from the catapult mechanism. The fire spread to aircraft on the flight deck and to the hangar deck. Bombs and rockets on the planes began to explode. The fire on the flight deck was brought under control in just over an hour. 4 hours later, the fire on the hangar deck was also extinguished. Several small fires are still smoldering in between the decks. So far, reports of casualties have not been released. Don North, ABC, Saigon.
The Viet Cong dumped more than 250 rockets and mortar shells on two American airfields north of Saigon this morning. Four U.S. servicemen killed, more than 30 others injured. The U.S. is wrapping up the worst week of racial trouble in its history. There was more trouble overnight in a number of cities, although not nearly as violent as the earlier rioting. Disorders flared up overnight in Wilmington, Delaware, Passaic, New Jersey, Brooklyn and Poughkeepsie, New York, South Bend, Indiana, and Cambridge, Maryland. Minor sniper fire continued in Detroit, but the city was declared secure by George Romney of Michigan. 4,000 National Guardsmen on standby alert in Memphis, but it was quiet there. President Johnson's special commission to investigate riots gets down to business today. ABC's Dan Hackle reports from the White House.
The president's new riot commission holds its first meeting here today. The members of the Advisory Commission on Civil Disorder will gather in the cabinet room at 11:30 this morning. They'll get a first-hand report from Cyrus Vance, the president's on-the-scene representative in Detroit. Vance will report personally to President Johnson at 11 a.m., then lunch with the commission members. The White House says the commission will have all the federal resources it needs. The meeting this morning will be largely organizational, but the president will attend and set the tone. He has already set the first task, to look into the cause of the riots. Dan Hackle, ABC, the White House.
Now a word from our sponsor.
It shows in the music you like, in the way you think. You're a part of right now, and everything about you says it. Even your cigarette. You smoke True. True filter cigarettes. Everything about True says right now. The air filtration system. The plastic mouthpiece that works like a cigarette holder. The reduced tar and nicotine content. Average yield, no more than 14 milligrams tar, 0.8 milligrams nicotine. The easy draw. The right now taste. Everything about True says today, this minute, right now. Another thing, the True choice, with menthol, without menthol, True Green or True Blue. Shouldn't your brand be True?
A Greyhound bus crashed after it was hit by a car near Edwardsville, Alabama, early this morning. Two people, including the bus driver, were killed, 36 injured in that bus crash near Edwardsville, Alabama. President Johnson's advisors, Maxwell Taylor and Clark Clifford, on their way toward Australia this morning. Taylor and Clifford were on their way down under yesterday, but their plane had one engine go out, and they had to land in the Philippines and get it fixed. The U.S. Army Chief of Staff, General Harold Johnson, arrived in Saigon today. General Johnson, on his eighth trip to South Vietnam, he'll inspect U.S. forces in South Vietnam. In Washington, the State Department is considering a request by a group of Quakers. The Quakers want to go to North Vietnam to deliver some medical supplies and maybe a few volunteers to work in North Vietnamese hospitals. This is News Around the World.
Back to Jim Harriet after we pause for station identification. In a moment, we'll hear direct reports from Saigon, Washington, and Miami Beach as news around the world continues.
Campaigning starts in South Vietnam next Thursday for the presidential elections that will be coming up in September. More details on how that fire started aboard the USS Forrestal off Vietnam. In Saigon, a military spokesman tells ABC,
"We're preparing for the first launch of the day, and apparently a fuel tank, one of the auxiliary tanks, dropped from an aircraft, ruptured, and was ignited by the catapult.
29 planes were damaged or destroyed in the explosion and fire on the USS Forrestal. Military authorities have not yet released information on the number of dead or injured. There's still plenty of trouble brewing in Red China. Moscow says this morning that paratroopers of the Red Chinese Army have landed in Wuhan. Wuhan has been rocked by riots against Mao during the past few days. Meanwhile, travelers reaching Hong Kong say Chinese Army troops have taken over Canton. 20,000 workers have struck the railroads in Red China. More details on the first meeting of the President's Committee to investigate the recent riots in the nation. Governor Otto Kerner of Illinois is chairman of the committee, and he had this comment about the riots.
America will bend its knee to no one, or to no group, in continuing its mission of liberty and freedom for all. I assure you, the pursuit of liberty shall never be equated with the pursuit of violence. I assure you also, we will continue to do all in our power to bring the full measure of liberty to every man.
Governor Otto Kerner of Illinois. The vice chairman of the special committee, Mayor John Lindsay of New York, told about a problem that must be handled. Mayor Lindsay said this.
All of the established groups, without any question, government and non-government, including the anti-poverty structure, have not adequately reached the young men, the 16-year-old men, that have not really been touched by voluntary and public organizations and groups.
Mayor John Lindsay of New York. Opinions vary about the meaning of the recent rioting. In Washington last night at the International Platform Association, Dick Gregory had this to say.
This is the greatest thing happened for this country. It's not a civil rights movement no more. It's a revolution. And I hope we can get the leadership back and keep it a nonviolent revolution. And in order to lead a nonviolent revolution, it just takes two qualities. You must be militant and humble. Rap Brown is militant but not humble. Martin Luther King is humble but not militant. The two of them should meet and join forces, and we would solve a whole lot of problems.
Dick Gregory, the Negro comedian and civil rights advocate. The mayor of Atlanta, Georgia, Ivan Allen, wants quick action from Congress to wipe out slums. Mayor Allen said this.
If the Congress of the United States would provide a five-year program of $20 or $30 billion a year, and this wealthy country can well afford to do this, because this is not an expenditure, this is an investment in the future of the country, we could eliminate the slums. This is the very guts of the matter, and that we cannot hide our head in the sands, and that we must move forward vigorously in a simple attack to eliminate the problems that we've been building up and developing for the past 100 years.
Mayor Allen also said his plan would create jobs for people in the slums. On the same platform with Dick Gregory and Mayor Ivan Allen was Dr. Martin Luther King. Dr. King had this comment.
A nation that can spend $35 billion to fight what I consider an unjust, ill-considered war in Vietnam, and $20 billion to put a man on the moon, can certainly spend billions of dollars to put God's children on their own 2 feet right here on earth.
The opinions of Dr. Martin Luther King were echoed by Roy Wilkins, the executive secretary of the NAACP. Roy Wilkins said this.
If we can spend $20 billion for war, if we can revive a whole continent of Europe, underwrite the economies of Germany, France, Italy, England, and see that these people recover their equilibrium, then we can underwrite the cost of recovering the equilibrium of our own native black people.
And Roy Wilkins also said there are millions of poor white people who must also be helped. That's the story on the riots on News Around the World. Since 1955, a group of congressmen and senators have been working on plans for a memorial to the late President Franklin Roosevelt. Today, the members of the commission appointed to iron out the details say they'll seek congressional approval soon on the latest design of the monument. Senator Eugene McCarthy of Minnesota and Congressman Frank Thompson of New Jersey will introduce bills asking for formal approval of the memorial to FDR. Senator McCarthy says he hopes favorable action by Congress will enable the memorial to be built by the 25th anniversary of the death of President Roosevelt, April 12, 1970. The proposed monument would be located in West Potomac Park. The park is a 66-acre piece of land south of the White House. The design of the monument calls for a granite block 32 feet square. On one side would be an image of FDR. Visitors would be able to hear the voice of the late president and recordings of parts of about 10 of his speeches. It's not known how much the memorial to President Roosevelt will cost, but when the commission was formed in 1955, it was authorized to solicit $4.5 million in contribution. A Republican committee has made a strong recommendation for a location to hold the 1968 nominating convention. ABC's Bill Lawrence has the story in Miami Beach.
A Republican site committee early today unanimously recommended that the party's 1968 nominating convention be held in Miami Beach beginning August 5th. The selection now must be ratified by the full GOP National Committee. It would be the first national political conclave ever for Miami Beach, and a setback for Chicago, which has been the site of many national conventions. Each city offered approximately $650,000 in cash, plus fringe benefits. It still isn't known whether the Democrats will follow the Republicans into Miami Beach or go elsewhere. Bill Lawrence, ABC, Miami Beach, Florida.
Near Anniston, Alabama last night, a crash between an express bus and a car killed two persons, injured 36 others. A member of the Alabama Highway Patrol described the accident this way.
This car was coming from the west, and he probably was on the wrong side of the road, and he sideswiped the bus sufficiently enough to cause the bus to swerve off the road and run down into the creek.
A spokesman for the Alabama Highway Patrol. The death toll is still mounting from that earthquake which struck Turkey on Thursday. ABC's David Arfa reports from Ankara.
The second earthquake in a week has smashed into eastern Turkey, leaving a death toll of more than 170 victims. And the number of those killed by the quake is expected to rise as relief crews reach stricken villages in the remote and roadless disaster area close to the Turkish town of Erzincan. Government authorities, meanwhile, in Ankara are considering moving all survivors out of the area, which lies astride the so-called Anatolian Fault, a geological danger area highly subject to earth tremors. David Arfa, ABC, Ankara.
State inspectors in Kentucky blaming gas seepage for that explosion in a coal mine in Kentucky yesterday. The underground blast near David, Kentucky, killed four men. Heavy thunderstorms hit parts of Tennessee and Arkansas overnight. A tornado touched down about 40 miles northwest of Little Rock, Arkansas, but there were no reports of injuries. Clear skies over much of the Midwest and far west today. The outlook for today, clear to partly cloudy skies across the nation. And that's the latest on the weather on News Around the World. A tax agreement between the United States and France. The two countries have signed a treaty designed to prevent taxpayers of one country from paying additional taxes while working in the other. After 30 years of marriage, Senator Joseph Clark, Democrat of Pennsylvania, and his wife, Noel, are seeking a divorce. Senator Clark is serving his second six-year term as U.S. Senator. In Akron, Ohio, about 22,000 members of the United Rubber Workers are voting this weekend, the union balloting on a three-year contract with Uniroyal. Uniroyal is the last of five rubber makers to reach a contract settlement with the rubber workers in Akron. Morning newspapers in Paris ignoring the French government's official line on President de Gaulle's snub to Canada. The French government says there is no de Gaulle problem, but a Canadian problem. This statement is not being published by the morning newspapers in France. And in Australia, another attempt to launch Western Europe's rocket, Europa A, failed today. Mechanical fault developed in the second stage just seconds before the blastoff. News staff for News Around the World this week, Ted Whitcomb, Bert Friedman, Gil Longen, and Alan Wasser. Engineering, Ed Salzman, directed by Bob Garrity. This is Jim Harriet, ABC New York. Have a nice weekend.
Alex Dreyer underscores the news. Every day on the ABC Radio Network.